I'm your host, Annie Bowles, and this is News du Jour. Welcome to News du Jour. You may be wondering, why am I, Annie Bowles, here hosting this podcast? I usually start by telling people I'm a political baby. You see, my parents met working on Capitol Hill. By the time I was two, I had been in my first political commercial and even got lost crawling around the West Wing. Don't worry, Al Gore found me. My family then moved abroad when I was nine, and I attended an international school in Brussels with kids from all over the world, and it is this type of global perspective that I also bring to our show. I graduated from American University in DC after studying political science and art history, as well as interning on both sides of Capitol Hill. I even interned down the hall from where my parents met. I'm now pursuing a professional certificate in journalism at NYU in conjunction with Rolling Stone magazine. I guess I was always that friend in the group who cared deeply about not just what was going on politically, but also globally. I often kept my own friends informed through high school and into young adulthood, so I guess I've always done a version of this show. I'm genuinely passionate about following the news, and I'm here to break it down for you guys every weekday. We always strive to be a calmer space to get your news, or as one listener put it, like getting your news from a well-informed bestie. I'm so glad you're here. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the News du Jour. I wanted to remind you guys that last week I dropped a bonus episode into your feed here. It is a conversation between myself, Nikki Adamondo, and Michelle Horton. Nikki is a criminalized survivor. She's someone who was sentenced to life for simply defending herself and her children. Michelle is her sister who literally raised her kids and quit her job to fully commit to fighting for her sister's freedom. And after 7 years, Nikki was released due to a piece of legislation in New York that is the inspiration behind our bill here in Oklahoma, Senate Bill 1470. If you guys haven't listened to that episode yet, it will shed a lot of light on the work we're doing here in Oklahoma. And Nikki actually gave us her first interview out of prison. And I think I've said this before, but you know, they've been on shows like 2020 and, you know, all these major talk shows, Good Morning America, things like that. So the fact that they gave us her first interview out of prison, they reached out to us to do it, it just meant the world. But the main reason they wanted to do it is because they are fighting alongside us for Senate Bill 1470. They see the grave need for it here in Oklahoma, and they're going to do everything in their power to help us make that happen. So it is a huge push, and I hope you guys will listen to that episode to, again, shed some more light. And if you're interested in helping people who are in the same situation as Nikki, you can sign the petition that's linked in our show notes, and we'll be there through May for sure. Today is a super slow news day. Friday's episode was stacked, but today is pretty chill, so we just have a couple stories to go over. Let's get into it. For our first story, Kate Middleton resurfaces. Okay, guys, so Kate Middleton, as we reported last week, was first spotted by TMZ out at a farm stand in like Windsor area with William. It was blurry and the photo was from a distance, but it was Kate, you guys. I thought it was pretty plain to see that it was her, and it honestly put a lot of our worst fears to rest. For a minute there, the sleuths really had me worried, as I'm sure you guys realized. But since then, Kate has obviously come out in a video revealing that she actually has cancer. Much like her father-in-law, King Charles, she says that she initially went in for a surgery that was not about cancer, but upon going in, doctors discovered that it actually was cancer. She said she's now undergoing treatment for this cancer, and that is why they have pushed off dates where she, you know, will be resuming her public duties. If you guys remember, first it was Easter, and then they pushed that back by 5 weeks. And this was something that was really like a leading cause for concern online. I was so glad to see her and see that she is safe, albeit not under the best circumstances. As someone whose parent has also battled cancer, my heart definitely goes out to George, Charlotte, and Louis. I hope she recovers soon and without much pain. So next up for today, EU officials found a clever way to have Russia pay for arms for Ukraine. It's all about finding the funding, you guys, and arming Ukraine is no exception. According to Reuters, the EU has found a way to transfer the revenue from frozen Russian assets in Europe to the groups that provide Ukraine's weaponry. And this isn't like a little bit of money that, you know, they found from shaking the couch cushions either, you guys. We're talking billions of dollars that are needed in funding for Ukraine's weaponry. But as we've talked about at length on this show, Ukraine is reliant on funding to continue this war. And the U.S.'s funding for Ukraine has stalled out in Congress. So Europe is having to get creative, essentially trying to cover their own ass. You see, if Russia is successful in Ukraine, it's almost certain that the war would overflow into neighboring territories that Putin would like to claim as his own. So the EU is searching for cash, and it's not really solely out of charity. It's an investment in their own safety, because if Putin provokes a war with a NATO nation, we'll all be dragged into his fight. But their goal was to make Putin pay for Ukraine's defense, and now they have found a way to do that. The plan is set to be voted on in Brussels this Thursday, but if successful, most of the profits from these frozen assets would go to Ukraine to the tune of 3 billion euros, or about $3.25 billion, according to the New York Times. Assuming all goes to plan, the funding could hit for Ukraine as soon as this July. They are also setting some of those funds aside for helping to rebuild Ukraine after the war. But if I'm being totally honest, if someone is ahead in this war right now, it's actually Russia. Putin had the most recent land grab, and with the response at home to Navalny's death being pretty moot, I feel like Putin is holding all the cards right now, and I'm scared to know what he plans to do with them. Hopefully, this funding can help turn the tide. Only time will tell. And so for our final story today, this is just a quick episode today, but a couple interesting stories. So China is making a major investment in exporting solar. So this is something that I've had on the back burner for you guys for a while, waiting for a slow news day to tell you about it. But it's something I find super fascinating. And something I could see potentially coming up on the presidential debate stage, you know, that is if we get to have a debate this year. Anyway, in the past year, China has installed more solar panels in their country than the United States has installed in its entire history. So what does this point to? Why is it important? And why all the focus on solar? Well, China has been seeing the writing on the wall, you guys. Solar is the way of the future. Everyone has access to the sun for the most part, and China wants to be leading that future, not following behind. What's more, investing in solar means weaning itself off of foreign imports for energy, like oil and gas. China dominates in solar manufacturing already, though, you guys, with 80% global production coming out of China, according to the Financial Times. They are also investing in related technologies like batteries, electric vehicles, wind energy, etc. And with Biden prioritizing these same things, it further heats up the already piping hot competition between our two countries. Boxing us out of this industry would be an absolute dream for Chinese leadership. the second highest ranking official in China all but said this was their goal at their annual meeting this past week. So that's why I think this subject may come up along the campaign trail or on a debate stage, if we even get a presidential debate this year. Seems unlikely since Trump has not debated in quite some time, but we'll see. But speaking of clean energy, I saw a piece in the New York Times that I found super fascinating that's related. Essentially, there's something cropping up called climate cafes, you guys, and they're happening all across the country and are essentially meetup points for people who want to get together and talk about like their fears surrounding the climate. Some of these groups involve therapists, guided meditations. They talk about things like the ethics of childbearing at a time when we are going to be increasingly in danger, how racism and poverty will inevitably collide with this crisis, how to deal with the big emotions that come with understanding that our planet is under threat, but also feeling kind of helpless to stop it. There's a group called Climate Psychology Alliance, and they are actually helping to facilitate these types of meetups. You know, they're not responsible for all of them, but they're facilitating some, and they have about 350 people trained across the country to run these types of workshops. So my only question is, when are they coming to Oklahoma City, and where can I meet up with them? I need this in my life ASAP. So if you guys hear of one happening here in Oklahoma, please let me know. I would love to help spread the word, and I would love to personally attend. And that, for today, is the news du jour. Today, I wanted to leave you guys with the quote, "A man who tells the truth doesn't mind being questioned. A liar does." If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use to listen. A rate and review on that platform or a shout out on social media would mean the world to us and help us to be able to keep creating the news du jour and reach more people who need a calmer space to consume the news. But the best way to support all of our work is to become a patron at www.patreon.com/sugarfreemedia, and that is also linked in our show notes. You can follow us on social media at newsdujour.podcast on both Instagram and TikTok. You can follow my personal account at It's Annie Bowles on both platforms as well. Any little noises you may hear in the background are my rescue pup. He has a little separation anxiety and always records with me. We appreciate you listening and look forward to telling you about the news again next time on News du jour.
Broadcasting from Oklahoma.